In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, amen. In today's Gospel, we see our Lord looking down upon Jerusalem and weeping. And I find this is perhaps one of the most moving pieces of artwork that has been put together. Our Lord weeping over Jerusalem. And of course, I must back up a little bit and suggest to you, he's not weeping over the buildings and the temple and the streets and all the things that have been built up there. He's not even weeping over the trees and the birds or the fishes that are in the city of Jerusalem. He's not weeping over the city in this material sense, but he's weeping over the city as it is this group of individuals, his chosen people, the children of God. This is what brings tears to his eyes as he weeps, that they will be destroyed, that destruction is coming for them. And it is a real tragedy because he has come to save them. He would have gathered them all together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wing, but they would not. So he's weeping not over the material things, but over the spiritual, over those souls that are made in the image and likeness of God. The loss of these souls is what brings tears to the eyes of the Son of God. And I think all too often we look at the church, we look at the things of the world around us, and we become attached to the material things. And we forget the more important things of our soul. And even if we can set aside the buildings, the structures, we tend to focus on our bodies and the welfare of this body, this flesh, the material body. And I think we're still missing the point because we have to get down to the depths of the soul. It is the soul that God is interested in. It is the soul that is important. It is in our soul that we are made in the image and likeness of God. And this is something that is sacred, something that is beautiful. But the world is out to destroy, not just the buildings, not the streets, the temples, the churches, as sacred as they are. That's not enough. The world is not even out to destroy our bodies. That's irrelevant. Our bodies are going to die. We're going to be buried in the ground. Remember that you were dust, and unto dust you shall return. Our concern needs to be for the soul, for our eternal life. What's going to happen to this soul? This thing that I can't see, that I can't touch. But somehow I've got this sense that this soul exists. This soul, that little voice that's in my head that causes me to think, that allows me to have this interior prayer or this meditative prayer that we spoke to the children, remember? We can pray without moving our lips. We can pray in the quiet of our mind, in the depths of our heart. We do all of this because we have an immortal soul. And this immortal soul is made in the image and likeness of God. And this is what the devil wants to destroy. But the devil can't touch our soul directly. And so he attacks us through the material world around us. He attacks us through our own bodies. And there are many in the world who give in to this devil. But I like to remember, the devils have been around since the beginning of time. They are intelligent beings, and they have been learning since the beginning of time. They have been watching mankind since the beginning of time, studying how to destroy us. And it would be foolish to think they haven't learned a thing or two since the beginning of time. They are very clever. They know exactly how to tempt us. They know exactly what buttons to push. But don't fret. We all are in this together. We all suffer the same temptations, the same trials, the same tribulations. And God is still in charge. Nothing happens without God's permission. But I'd like to draw your attention to something that I think is very dangerous in our day, that we perhaps fail to realize just how dangerous it is. And I know we can go back in time and look to the fathers of the church, and even there they will preach against the fashions of the world, the fashions of the day. And I think all too often when we hear sermons about fashion and modesty, we're already thinking about, my dress, my clothing. We're thinking materially. And I think we're missing the mark. What is materially modest in one place is immodest in another. What arouses our desires, our lust, our passions, whatever it may be, that really changes with culture, with where we are, what we're doing, how we're living. And I'm telling you, yes, that's all important. And I often preach that that means we must be moderate, we must be in the middle, virtues in this middle course. It's extreme to put on too little clothing as it is to put on too much clothing and draw attention to yourself and fill yourself with pride. Both extremes are wrong. But I'd like to draw your attention to there's something even more important to what you wear, what you eat, where you live. And that is what is happening to your immortal soul. And the fashions of our world today are infected with immediate gratification, the social media. It is a wonderful tool, fantastic to get information, to learn, to advance, to make our voices heard in this world. But the devils have also taken hold of the social media to implant ideas in the minds of our children, to attack the souls of those who are confused. And that is what we must be careful of. And I believe this is what we should weep tears over. Just as Christ wept over Jerusalem, we can weep over our own children who are being inundated with this, I don't even know what to call it, this modern fashion, social media, this social awareness of everything that's going on around them. And in this social awareness, they've got plenty of people to encourage them and to lie to them, to close their eyes to the reality. Everything is good. God loves you just the way you are. You don't need to change. And what does Bishop Giles know when he tells me God wants you to change? Christ came to this earth to tell you to change. He didn't come and suffer and die upon a cross to say, you're okay just the way you are. He didn't come to this earth and say, you want to be my disciple, deny yourself daily, take up your cross and come follow me. He didn't do all of that to say, you're okay just the way you are. I love you just like you are. I want you to change. I don't need you to change. He wept over Jerusalem because he wanted them to change. He weeps over us because he wants us to change. He wants us to be better. He wants us to do better. But now the social media is telling our children, confusing them. you don't feel comfortable? Well, maybe God put you in the wrong body. Maybe God made a mistake. Maybe you need to mutilate your body. Maybe you need to disfigure yourself, destroy yourself for the rest of your life. Yes, the devil is interested in destroying your physical body, making you miserable for your entire life here on earth, but he is more interested in destroying your immortal soul. And that is what we need to watch. It is bad enough that the devils are attacking us physically, but we must not allow them to destroy our immortal soul that is made in the image and likeness of God. And that soul is shrouded in this body. The two go hand in hand. Just yesterday we celebrated the Feast of St. Martha. And Sister Catherine likes for me to speak about Martha and Mary, and to remind you that, yes, the body and the soul go hand in hand. They work together. Yes, the soul is more important to the body, but the soul needs the body. The body needs the soul. They're both good. They're both necessary. You say, are our young ladies being inspired to be children of Eve or children of Mary? And that we want to make this distinction. You see, well, you have to be a daughter of Eve before you can become a daughter of Mary. You need a body and a soul. And we say, oh, how terrible Eve was. Maybe she repented and maybe she's in heaven. I don't think I've ever read anywhere where Eve is now burning in hell. Or Adam, for that matter. We need both of them. And the devil attacks us through the forbidden fruit, through our bodies, through the material things. But he's aiming at attacking our immortal soul. But he can't attack that directly. The only one that can send our soul to hell is ourselves. And I know the children will tell me, well, God could send our souls to hell, right? No, he can't. God's will is that our souls go to heaven and spend all of eternity with him in heaven. Remember your catechism? Why did God make me? To be happy with him in heaven. That's God's will. He's not going to change that will and will that you go to hell. But if you want to go to hell, he loves you enough. He says, okay, I will sacrifice my will so that you can have your will. And you don't want to spend eternity with me, you may go. He's not going to be happy about it. It will bring tears to his eyes. You will break his heart because he loves you, but he's not going to force you into heaven. He's not going to force you into hell because he doesn't want you to go to hell. So the social media is telling us that it's okay to be a sinner. It's okay to be evil. It's okay to cheat, to lie, to steal. After all, whatever you put on social media, it's out there. Who can stop you? You can say anything you want on the internet. Unless it goes against the policies of Facebook or Twitter or whatever. But it seems to me they're pretty liberal and they don't really care about the truth. Probably if you spoke the truth, then they might clamp down on you, shut you down. But any lie you want to express, it's there. And it seems that there is this social contagion today. I don't know if it's just my biased opinion or observation, But it seems to me that this transgender movement has really created a big problem for the world we live in. Convincing young people that God made a mistake and put them in the wrong body. And then we write laws to protect the children so they don't have to tell their parents. The parents can't do anything about it. They don't have to listen to teachers. And if they go to a psychologist is supposed to affirm them in their new identity. And all sanity seems to have been tossed out the window. And children, with the help of professionals, are taking life-altering hormones into their bodies, getting surgeries into their bodies that are not going to change their gender. It's just going to mutilate them and make them infertile. It's not going to make them psychologically feel any better about themselves. On the contrary, I would venture it makes them feel worse about themselves. I don't believe it's going to save anyone from suicidal ideology, but it's going to probably increase suicidal ideology. And this is what we're facing. And it is quite scary to think that children are being manipulated to destroy the rest of their lives. And that the adults, those in charge, either won't or can't say anything or do anything about it. We are left really kind of helpless with our hands tied as we watch this destruction unfold right before our eyes. We know what's down the road. We can see it. We've seen those who've gone down this path. We've listened to their testimony. This is what it's like after I've transitioned. My life is miserable. My life is ruined. I will never be a parent. I will never have my own child. We can see it as Christ looked on Jerusalem and saw the destruction that was coming. And even God was unable to stop the destruction that was coming for Jerusalem. And I think part of those tears are really the helplessness. If you had only listened, I would have gathered you together. I would have saved you. I would have protected you. But you won't listen. And I feel the same frustration with the world, with society, with the internet. All this social contagion, the social media. It's headed to a place that is no good. It is headed for destruction. I can warn you, be careful. I'm not going to venture to say, oh, you should have nothing to do with the internet. You should have nothing to do with social media. As I said earlier, it is a useful tool. It is a gift from God. But with every gift from God, we need to pay attention and use it according to God's plan and not let the devil come in and trick us. Not let the devil get to our souls through this magnificent tool that God has given us. And so as we look upon Christ weeping over Jerusalem and our heart goes out to Christ, let us also realize that he's weeping over us. He's weeping over America. Not just America, but the whole world. For this has really become a worldwide contagion. And it's time for us to wake up. And perhaps it is time for us to flee, at least in part, some of this evil that is all around us, gradually infiltrating itself into our lives, into our hearts, into our minds, so that we come to some strange conclusion, oh, there is no God. If there were a God, he wouldn't have put me in the wrong body. So how do you know you're in the wrong body? I know. I'm not comfortable. No, God didn't make a mistake. And life is hard. Life hurts. Love is hard. Love hurts. Christ says there is no greater love than to lay down one's life for the brethren. And you want to know what love is? Look at the crucifix and think about our Lord. This is the greatest act of love. And I ask you, did that act of love hurt? It hurt physically. It hurt spiritually. Love is painful. The cross hurts. But if we will embrace that cross, if we will embrace love, yes, it will hurt. It will bring tears to our eyes. But Christ has promised, you embrace this cross for the love of me, I will make it light. I will make it sweet. I will make it a joy. And if we will believe Christ and make that act of faith, take that leap of faith, I believe you, Lord. I'm going to do what you say. No matter how much it hurts, I'm going to do your will. I'm going to follow you. That cross will become light. It will become sweet. It will become a joy. If you try and run away from that cross, the cross just gets heavier, becomes more bitter, becomes more intolerable. As long as we're running away from difficulties and trying to find the happy or the easy way out, we're going to be miserable. There's no pill in this world that can make you happy. There's no pill in this world that's going to take away all your pain. There's no pill, magic pill in this world that's going to make you live here on earth forever. But if you will accept the cross, accept the pain, accept the difficulty, and say, I'm going to bear this cross for the love of Christ, you will find joy. You will find peace. You will find contentment. Even in this life, the cross will be made sweet. It will be made light. It will be made a joy. But we have to make that act of faith. We have to cross over. Stop holding on to our own will, our own pleasure, our own passion, and say, no. I'm going to do what is right, even if it hurts. I'm going to do what God tells me to do, even if it kills me. Even if I die trying, this is what I must do. When we get to that point, we're no longer influenced by the fashions of the world, the suggestions of the devil. And that cross, which looked so terrible before, now becomes sweet, light, and a joy. And I'll leave you with one final thought of St. Francis of Assisi. Before his conversion, there were lepers everywhere, and he couldn't stand to even look at a leper. If a leper were coming down the street, he would cross to the other side of the street so he wouldn't even have to greet him. Lepers had their flesh rotting off of them. They had an odor. They were dirty. They were really like the walking dead. And it repulsed St. Francis' sensitivities to an unimaginable degree. But after his conversion, St. Francis tried to see Christ in the leper. See Christ suffering in the body of this leper. And so after his conversion, he determined he's going to overcome this feeling inside him. And the next leper he went up to, wrapped his arms around him, embraced him, and kissed him. And he tells us, St. Francis tells us, that from that moment on, all that repulsed him was removed. And he worked night and day to help the lepers. He established hospitals to help them. He washed their wounds. He did everything he possibly can because now he saw clearly. And all that was disgusting, all that caused him fear, was taken away. And with that cross was made light, it was made sweet, it was made a joy. And so in the Franciscan life, whenever we're faced with a difficulty, we hear the voice of our superior, kiss the leper. Benedictio Dei omnipotentis, Patris, et Filii, et Spiritus Sancti descendit super vos, et maniat semper. Amen.